Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. Who the fuck is Grayskull?
And so I cried some time when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out. Was in my head and I
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast, where today I watched the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special to celebrate Christmas in July. I was joined by my friend Ian Schrank, who uses he, him pronouns. If you like this episode, please drop us a positive review on iTunes. I'd really appreciate it. And I'm on Twitter at StopTweetingMia if you want to go follow me there. Thanks for listening to Cynical Cartoons for another week. As always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm here if you need to talk. Yeah, that's right. We're doing our Christmas in July episode. We were going to watch The Grinch, the 2018 Illumination classic. It's not good.
Why did you say classic? That immediate...
It's a classic. It won an Oscar.
Was it even... No, it wasn't nominated. For
no.
A second, I was about to
Of course
to ask.
Not. Well, we watched it. We watched a bunch of it, and it was
I probably watched a total of 2 minutes, and it's hard because I'll admit... I judged it from the first poster, and as soon as I heard the idea,
you thought it was
the very
concept from the first
of an Illumination Grinch with Benedict Cumberbatch's American accent, like I judged it from the minute I heard it, and I guess I never really gave it a chance. But when I watched those 2 minutes, I was completely vindicated. It was exactly what I was expecting, and I was not happy with that.
I mean, the really funny thing about Benedict Cumberbatch's Grinch and his American accent in general is that he sounds like every non-American guy that's ever done an American accent. We used to live together, and we literally knew somebody there that was from South Africa. And every time...
We're getting very specific here.
Yeah, every time that we would go out with him and he would get drunk, he would start doing his American accent to people.
Mm-hmm.
And he would walk around and say, "Hi, I'm an American. What state do you think I'm from? I'm from America."
Oh, gotcha. It wasn't a real accent.
No, like I'm from right here. I'm from three blocks. I grew up 3 blocks down there.
There was one night he was like, for an experiment, he was catering some event, and he said he was going to use his American accent all night.
Oh, boy.
And he was wow. Oh, it's so funny. People treat you different when they think you're American. And I'm like, I think they thought something was wrong with you. They thought you were having a stroke.
They thought you were a South African man pretending to be American. So they treated you like an asshole.
Yeah.
He's white, so we're allowed to say all of this about
him.
Yeah,
exactly. We should have led with that. It's okay. He's white. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Let's just do the version of what Cynical Cartoons would be like if we had actually watched that movie. Because I watched about 30 minutes. You watched
about two minutes.
Yeah.
And wow, I gotta say, the shock ending where he just snaps and starts killing people was great. I thought they would have cut that out because, you know, originally it was NC-17, but they wanted it to play in some theaters. But
right.
I was... amazed how much they left in.
It was really incredible how he went from like, "I'm gonna steal Christmas," and then his heart shrunk 4 sizes and he said, "I'm gonna murder everybody." He had to put down the dog, that's why he snapped.
But that was humane. I thought that was very tasteful how they did that. But it's really
It was kind of like bold I Am Legend,
to honestly. To explore it was
sort
the
of a
lore
rip-off
of
I Am Legend.
It's exactly like I Am Legend. I thought this was going to be spoiler free, but yeah, it just turns into I Am Legend halfway through, and not even like a recreation of it. It's literally the movie I Am Legend they gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely got better at that point, but I thought that was one of the best twists that we would save for people to see it.
It was just a weird to parody a 10-year-old movie.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I guess is still culturally relevant. Like, people still remember I Am Legend, but...
Yeah, it's not, like, 7 pounds. Do you remember that?
Most culturally relevant. Oh, you're saying that's less culturally relevant.
Yeah.
I do remember 7 pounds because that was the movie that introduced me to Feeling Good, the Muse cover of the Nina Simone classic, which brought me around to listening to Nina Simone, who is fucking incredible.
So, I mean, I guess the movie can't really take credit for that, but it does have a place in your heart.
It also brought me around to Muse, which was very important to me as a 14-year-old.
Yeah,
so,
that's important to most 14-year-olds.
Yeah. Anyways, the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special.
Can't you tell we're really excited to talk about the
Listen,
He-Man She-Ra Christmas special?
I am.
Special.
This special has everything. It has a talking unicorn.
Which...
That's really all it needs. It has Skeletor learning to love... Christmas and people.
With my all-time favorite line, I don't like to feel good. I like to feel evil. That was the, what are we, some kind of Suicide Squad of this special.
Right.
The most iconic line.
It has Orko.
Stop.
It has...
Thunder thighs. So many thunder thighs.
So much.
Thighs.
And so many abs.
No one skips leg day on... What's their planet?
Celestia?
So yeah, that's
Is that My Little Pony? I think that's this. I think this is definitely
Wait,
Celestia.
Now it really sounds My Little Pony.
What are the names
of... You're thinking
Equestria. Equestria. Okay, so this is definitely Celestia.
Yeah.
It has the Monstroids and the Mansheens, which is the most blatant like spin-off attempt of all time. Unless they were already a thing that's sort of crossing over here. I don't really know.
Well, Monstroids, I feel like that was completely a Transformers like knock, but not trying to rip them off, but like trying to say they're dumb. Cause I think at some point someone said, that's absurd. A robot that transforms into there was like a very blatant line saying how dumb this concept was.
No, it wasn't even that they were dumb. It was that She-Ra turns to her unicorn Swifty and says, robots that transform? How devious. Like, they're
it's
evil.
It's not even dumb. It's how devious.
It's like, Transformers suck and also they're evil. Don't play with them.
While we're on that topic, I guess I'm not really familiar with the lore of She-Ra. Has her pony always been possessed by Dr. Claw? Like, that really threw me when out of nowhere, how devious. Like, because you've seen the pony several times at this point. It's 20 minutes in and it has not spoken.
It looks very feminine. I expected it to be a girl unicorn. It has like rainbow wings and a horn and it looks very soft. And then suddenly it starts talking and it's like this. It's like basically Charlie the Unicorn. It's like, hey, what are we doing here, Dora? Are we finding the kids? Are we finding the robots?
Oh Christ, it's Candy Mountain again. The Monstroids are going to Candy Mountain.
But the thing is that watching this is really incredible because it is just a lot of fun, but it really showcases just how little I know about the He-Man lore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't really watch the show as a kid. You know, like I would watch it when it came on when I was in college. It would just like sort of play on reruns or I'd watch it on YouTube because I was curious. And I've seen a few episodes of the new She-Ra reboot on Netflix, which is really fun. But like watching this, I was like, are these two like always, like is she... In his show, I don't really know what's going on at all.
I'll admit, most of my knowledge of He-Man comes from the Four Non-Blondes meme video. Hey, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think I know that they don't usually cross over. They're supposed to be brother and sister, but they never really appear on each other's shows. So this must have been a big deal to put the characters together.
Right.
Like, for whatever.
This is definitely a ratings boost for She-Ra. They needed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Is his name Prince Adam Lannister? Because there's some definite incesty vibes going on here between him and She-Ra. Adora and Adam? Gross.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know they were brother and sister. I thought that they were dating for a while. And then he's like, come here,
You're
sister.
You're my favorite sister.
Ugh, gross.
And, I mean, it's nice that they're affectionate. They always hug goodbye and things like this, but then they just stay very close together.
Yeah, they talk. They're both close talkers, and it's kind of disturbing.
I mean, I guess it's a family trait, but it's one of those families you go, oh, and like you look away.
So Celestia is a weird place.
Everyone there is ripped.
Everyone there is so ripped.
And they have such detailed legs. My God, the calves really blew me away.
I mean, I think that that's a real asset of this show, is that yes, the animators were very horny for She-Ra.
Mm-hmm.
They were also very horny for Adam and Man-at-Arms and Adam's mom and his dad. Like, they were horny for everybody. Skeletor is fucking ripped. It's like, you're made of bones. Where did all this muscle come from?
My last note that I took watching it was, I would literally die for Skeletor.
He's a beautiful
Big
man.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Beautiful man.
He's great. But yeah, I mean, the show is so horny. And it really just shines through as like some exceptional 80s horndogness.
And I love that everyone has a slutty outfit. My favorite was the shirtless man with the Optimus Prime helmet with an elephant trunk.
Yeah, that was
like
weird.
I didn't know that fetish existed, but oh my God, I need to find out the name and study the people who watch it.
Yeah, I mean, Celestia is very Mad Max, like in its makings. It's like Mad Max with a very gay aesthetic, which I really appreciate.
Which also sounds like a great movie pitch right there.
Oh, that'd be so good. I mean, that's the really funny thing about like 80s Saturday morning cartoons, especially in 80s culture in general, is there was all so gay.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was terrified of gay people and hated them so much. I feel like there was no intentional gay subtext in He-Man, but like...
That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's just the text now.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the Christmas special. This is the episode which is all about Judeo-Christian Christmas. It's all about the love of Jesus Christ and how that makes us want presents.
I really thought they were going to be celebrating the same holiday from the Star Wars Christmas special. So
that'd be good.
Christmas
Life Day.
When Christmas itself came up, that was a turn.
That'd be so good if Chewbacca showed up, and like his family, itchy and lumpy.
It's just his family. None of the real Star Wars cast, but all the characters.
They're canonical for sure. I mean, it's so weird just how like Christmassy this is. Like, I knew that it was going to be a Christmas special. I didn't know that they were just going to like find two Earth kids that were going to explain to every single character in excruciating detail
in
what
all
Christmas
one-on-one
is about.
Sessions, like.
Mm-hmm. Orko.
Right off the bat, Orko's just like, does anyone know what Christmas is all about?
They're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's us, that's us.
Linus comes in and says, I can tell you, Orko, lights please, and goes through the entire Jesus tale.
And that's the weird thing is they're not just like, yeah, Christmas is about like family and togetherness. They start off like, well, a long time ago, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was born in Bethlehem. It's like the nativity story to Orko and then to Skeletor and then to Adam. And it's like, all right, we fucking get it. You kids love Christmas. We get it. Like, fuck.
Have you seen the Ed, Edd n Eddy Christmas special?
No.
It's actually very funny. Well, I thought so as a kid, and I'm sure it holds up. I was surprised how sort of biblical that one was, too.
Mm.
But at no point does anyone just start preaching stuff about it. I think Eddie falls into, like, a barn, and then three wise men show up, and then Double D's dressed as an angel and starts hanging from the ceiling, and it just becomes the nativity scene. They pause for a second, then move on with the episode.
Well, I mean, I think that there is a way to do holiday specials and make it religious and have that be fine. Like, the Rugrats have done like 40 episodes about Judaism, and that's fine.
Yeah,
like they just tell stories from
the
Old Testament.
They had a Kwanzaa episode too.
Yeah, The Simpsons does it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Brown, like I've already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was pretty in your face, but at the time people were like, wow, it's Charlie Brown cartoon. That was enough to get people excited.
But so the main thrust of this episode is that Orko steals He-Man's ship. I don't know what they were planning on doing with this ship. It's for interplanetary travel.
No, I believe it was to spy on Skeletor.
Oh, that's right. He's got like drone technology.
It's essentially...
He's like surveillance state
it's
He-Man.
It's pretty much, you know, the whole part in The Dark Knight where
yes,
Batman takes over everyone's
part.
Phones and then Morgan Freeman is upset and walks out on him. He-Man was going to do that completely unchallenged. Which I think it's finally time to dive into how totalitarian He-Man and all of Celestial, to be honest, is. I think Skeletor might be the good guy here fighting for freedom.
So Orko just kind of Jar Jar Binkses his way through this entire situation, which is always fun. Like, I love somebody who just like Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin, just kind of like buffoons his way through a situation and either saves the day or fucks things up. That's always fun.
Yeah, it's relatable content like that that really makes me connect with the series.
Right, like that time that you got inside of my rocket ship and accidentally flew yourself away to another planet, abducted two children, brought them home, had them abducted by our arch nemesis Skeletor.
But then we all learned about Christmas.
Yeah, so...
Like Mia, we didn't celebrate Christmas before then, and now I guess I saved the day.
Yeah, you made us all
Christians.
You can
call me Senator Jar Jar.
You converted us all to Christianity. So he just kind of like gets inside the ship, flies off to Earth, abducts these two children, and then they're abducted from him by Skeletor. What's the timeline here? He brings them back to Celestia from Earth. He steals them.
No, it was He-Man tries to save Orko and takes the children too, because I guess they just didn't realize there were children there. There's the guy, the mustache dude from the meme.
Man at Arms.
Yes.
Of course.
He has this great, like, big interdimensional laser that he can only power with special crystals not found on his planet, even though he designed it. And once they get the crystal to bring Orko back, the crystal has to recharge because they only got one. So they're like, oh, we abducted you, but you're going to have to stay here for a few days. But it's fine. There'll be a party. And the children literally say, oh, then that's okay then.
Right. They don't care that, like, they're away from their family on Christmas. Obviously, this is a horrible home environment.
Yeah.
Because when they do go back at the end of the episode, spoiler alert, they get back to their family at the end of the episode.
God damn it!
Yeah. Their family just, like, could not give a shit where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, hey, Mom and Dad, we went off to this planet, and we got a hover thing, and we fought a skeleton man, and their parents are like, yeah, you can tell us about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're going to do present. And it's like, those parents don't want to know what horrible thing just happened to their children. They don't care enough to care. And it's like this entire episode is in the middle of like the child abduction frenzy of the 1980s. Like America was obsessed with kids being kidnapped.
Was it right before it or did this inspire it?
I mean, this
like
is...
people saw this and they're like, oh my God, child abductions. I want to learn more. And then the news is like, well, we got to tell them more about it.
Because of the He-Man Shirelle Christmas special. No,
yes.
This was 1987. So this was like deep in the shit.
Got
like
it.
Kids were going missing. Everybody was afraid. This episode just does not acknowledge any of that. And it's like He-Man and his family are just going to like take the kids.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. You mentioned that Man in Arms was talking about like his incredibly rare power source that he powers this rocket ship with. And you made a really funny joke when we were watching it where you were like, why did he make it to be run on this technology?
Because he says, I have this ship, but we don't have any of the power yeah. source of this planet. It's like,
it runs on unobtainium.
I hate that I know that reference, but it's fine. Moving on.
And it's like, yeah, you have these dumb little hover bikes that you get on. You can fly all the way around the planet. Like, Skeletor has a ship that he flies around in. Everybody has spaceships. Everybody has all this shit. You can't have found, like, another power source to run this device. It's insane.
There's got
to
be something else. Because, like, they used a ship to get there. Which also, I do have some questions about Celestia and its relationship to Earth.
Oh, sure.
Early on, they're talking about, I think He-Man and She-Ra must be twins.
Yeah, they are.
Because they were celebrating their birthday.
And their mom is from Earth, so their mom knows about Christmas. And their dad is like, oh, thanks, honey, for teaching me about all of your Earth customs.
Yeah, it was something like that. Because I guess I assumed there was no more Earth. Because she was talking all about Earth. And he's like, oh, what was that? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's really a situation of like, is he royalty that went to Earth and abducted her a la the way they abduct these kids, but decided to keep her for some reason? Or is this a situation where she was like an astronaut that got stranded on Celestia? Because Earth does not know about these people, and these people don't know about Earth culture. So it's not like he went there, fell in love with her, learned about Earth culture, and then they both decided to go to Celestia.
I assumed it was completely Kurt Russell from Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
He just impregnated her and left?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously she's there, so he's not completely Kurt Russell from
Guardians
of the Galaxy 2.
Well, he came and got her when she had the kids.
Got it. I can't tell if that's better or worse.
I don't know. No, it's all horrible. Like, no matter how the situation
panned out.
It's
like, I will be a dad, but I'm not going to stick around for the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, twins. Bye. I'll be back in 9 months.
Skeletor's plot here is really weird. Skeletor works for another higher-up. I don't really know who that is.
I don't know if that's someone from She-Ra or someone from He-Man or just in the Christmas special, evil cloud guy.
Oh, that's fair. He makes, like, a replacement, or he, like, finds a replacement Skeletor, kind of. He's like, Skeletor, you've kind of fucked this one up one too many times, so I'm going to bring in my buddy. This is my cousin, Hordak. Hordak is Skeletor 2.0. He's better than you every way. And
I'm from Texas. He has a great accent.
And do you think that they're setting up Hordak to be a big antagonist in the She-Ra canon? Or do you think that he's just a one-off character?
Well, I think he's already the villain in She-Ra, because it must be going for a while at this point.
Sure, because I think that she has, like, female villains. Doesn't she have, like, Catra or something like that? You haven't seen She-Ra, you don't know.
I know a little bit about it. I don't know anything about Catra from the original She-Ra. I do know Hordak's the main bad guy.
Sure, representative of the patriarchy, makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very thought-provoking series.
I mean, it's weird because everything circling around She-Ra here is very sexist and she's very sexualized, and it's good that they updated it. This still feels empowering to me. Mm-hmm. Like, something about the, like, my cover art on the podcast is now, like, sort of a little bit modeled after She-Ra's stance in the show. He-Man, when he transforms from Adam to He-Man, has this thing where he says, "I have the power."
Very nice.
But she says, "I am She-Ra." Just so you don't forget who she is. Do you think that there were She-Ra toys that said, when you pressed a button on the back, "I am She-Ra"?
Probably, but I also, I don't know, I was going to say my general knowledge of the toys that tied into cartoons is that they were very cheap and probably didn't have voice activation, but I don't know that that's based on anything. That's one of those things you say, and you don't question, where am I getting this fact from?
Well, the whole thing with He-Man was that it was actually an upcoming toy line that they just said, like, hey, make a cartoon about this real quick so that we can pump out the toys and have something to tie in with it.
So you think the toys are probably better quality then?
No.
No.
No, not at all. But that was just something that I knew about He-Man.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
One thing I wanted to talk about is that early on they introduce all these, like, henchmen for Skeletor. And
right.
I'm like, oh, are these the characters from the show? I guess I don't know them as well. All of them just had one, insufferable voices. Two, they had the main pilot had two heads and they kept arguing with each other. And I'm like,
it was very Phantom Menace-y.
Is this the first time this character's shown up? Because they're acting like they've never made this joke before. I thought they must have just been for this special, because then it's like, where's our parachutes? What parachutes? And he kicks them out of the ship and they fall to their deaths. Which, again, I would die for Skeletor. This man is amazing.
Right. It cuts to the next episode and you're sitting in the control room. You're the new like pilot. And you're like, yeah, I guess that this is the go button. I guess that whatever I press will be the go button because the animation sort of only gives me one button to press. Yeah.
And everything is you pressing that. I did just have to say one of the henchmen's voice really stood out to me because I couldn't understand anything he was saying.
That's a common theme among Skeletor's crew. They all sound like they've been chain smoking for 30 years.
And also this weird effect on it that sounds like a meme from 2019.
Oh, yeah?
That he literally sounds like a meme. It sounds like this. That's literally what the character sounded like.
I do love She-Ra's transformation song. This show is just full of like 80s power ballads and things like that.
There was a lot of singing in this episode that I wasn't prepared for.
Man at Arms, I think, plays a song on his lute.
No, that was a different mustache ab guy.
Oh, no, that was Bo. You're right.
Yeah.
That was She-Ra's friend, Bo.
He's like, here's my new Christmas song. And then these other characters start singing his new song that he allegedly just wrote then. And the whole time I'm thinking, was there a tie-in soundtrack for this special? Because it sounds like it would have been one of those soundtracks that's, it's on vinyl, but it's one of those you have to cut out the back of a cereal box.
We would
so
find
then you
it.
Have to buy cereal to get the album.
We would find it at like some weird record store. I would hold it up to Reed and be like, what? Reed, why did they make this? And Reed would stare at me and walk away.
And then you'd be like, hold on, take pictures, send it to me, put it on Twitter.
Put it on Twitter, yeah, that's the thing.
So, and then in like a day, you're like, no, I'm going to go back and buy it. And you walk 2 miles to Goodwill to get it. And it'd still be there.
So they kidnap the kids. Orko kidnaps the kids. He-Man kidnaps the kids. Skeletor takes the kids from them. It's basically a game of football.
Oh, it's because the evil cloud guy that Skeletor works for
wants to destroy Christmas.
Is threatened by the spirit of Christmas emanating from the two Earth children.
Yes. So they're going to destroy Christmas, which I guess means kidnapping the kids and murdering them. Just lopping those heads off.
Yeah. Classic evil cloud guy.
Why not just
send
them
back? He does it all the time
to...
in the regular He-Man.
Why not just send them back to Earth? Honestly.
Because they don't have the crystals from the other planet.
That's true.
Man at Arms.
So Skeletor takes them off to the Fright Zone. That's what he made.
I hate that you know the name.
Yeah. And then sort of gets stranded with the kids and has to like walk with them through the snow. Also, they have their little dog friend. I don't know what his name was.
Oh, there's this like robot dog that looks like a dog wearing a helmet.
Yeah, but that's just his head.
Yeah, it's just, oh, that's after they meet the robots.
There's so much going on. We can't tackle everything.
It's just the robots to me look like if you told your mom, oh, I really like Mega Man, and she goes and finds like a comic book with these characters on it, thinks that's pretty much Mega Man and buys it for you, and you're like, okay, thanks, Mom.
This is Mega Man now, okay.
They all look like what your mom thinks Mega Man looks like.
Skeletor here has the most incredible arc, where he goes from man who wants to decapitate these children to destroy the spirit of Christmas to Christmas-loving good guy by the end, maybe.
I love that his like magical staff has the power to create fur coats for everyone.
Right.
Like, it's a very specific power, but I think he uses it in every episode of He-Man, too. He finds a reason to give someone a nice coat, like a nice L.L. Bean coat.
I mean, his powers seem kind of like ubiquitous. Why doesn't he just get rid of the snow? Honestly, he could make it warmer
because
out.
Because it's evil. And he's so reluctant, but you can tell he's a good guy at heart. Because he makes the nice coats for the two children.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, is he going to make a little coat for the puppy? He cuddles the puppy, but the whole time says, I do not like this.
Yeah. And it's like the kids are so...
They love Skeletor more than anyone else on Celestia.
The kids are a couple little fucking sycophants, honestly. Yeah. They have Stockholm Syndrome so quickly. Like, he kidnaps them to murder them, and then immediately they're like, oh, thank you, Mr. Skeletor, you're very kind. And he's like, I'm not kind.
But the problem is that, yes, it's Stockholm Syndrome, but they have standards. They didn't fall for Orko. They did not fall for He-Man.
That's
it
true.
Was
Orko
Skeletor.
Has no class and no charm, and Skeletor has all of it.
Yeah.
Skeletor has so many moments in this movie where he like learns the true meaning of Christmas and loves it so much and starts smiling. And you're like, you are a giant ripped skeleton, man. Stop smiling. Skeletons don't smile. This is not good.
I like when...
so disturbing.
There's some time at the end when the day is saved and the kids immediately go to Skeletor to say, yes, we did it. And then He-Man's like, step away from them. And they're like, yeah. No, Skeletor helped us. And then he's immediately like, oh, really? Okay.
Do you think that He-Man's just given Skeletor so many chances? It's like Batman and the Joker, and he's constantly like, well, Skeletor, are you ready to learn the error of your ways? And he's like, no! He runs away out the door, turns off the light switch, and everybody's like, where'd he go?
I know you'll turn good someday. We gotta get those drones up to spy on Skeletor. Because presumably after this, they rebuild the drone system to constantly survey him.
I mean, my question is, does this episode end with Skeletor becoming good? Is this like the end of He-Man? Or is this just the episode where he learns about Christmas and every year he like comes back to celebrate Christmas in Celestia?
He probably every year comes back to celebrate Christmas. It's like that song, the one about Snoopy in World War One, and he and the Red Baron say Merry Christmas to each other and stop shooting at each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know that song? Because I sound really crazy if you don't. It's literally about Snoopy as a fighter pilot in the war.
Okay, I don't know that song.
I didn't know I knew that, but it all just sort of came out at once.
Also, this is really important that it's not Celestia, it's Eternia. And Celestia is a character from My Little Pony.
Oh my God.
Which is trapped in the deep recesses of my mind.
Then do they live on Equestria? Because I thought that was in
My
Little Pony.
No, they live on Equestria for sure.
When are we doing My Little Pony? You don't want to say never.
No, it's such a deep shame of mine that I did watch that show when I was like 14 or 15. I mean, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun show that's been hijacked by a toxic fan base. And that's fine. That's never happened to anything else I've ever liked. Never.
But
Rick and Morty.
There was a time two of my friends in high school really liked the new My Little Pony. And then I just wanted to be an ass. And I'm like, nah, the 1980s My Little Pony is my favorite. And I made them all sit through the first episode of it, which I had never seen before. But I'm very good at keeping up annoying bits. So I kept acting like I knew the lore and I'd make stuff up. And they just got really pissed off with me.
Right. The ending of this episode is just four kidnappers fighting over the orphans they kidnapped and trying to fight over who's going to get them.
They are not
orphans. They're not orphans. They do have parents. Yeah. The parents don't care about them very much. Mm-hmm. They are one more step away from their parents just running off and never coming back.
Yeah.
Honestly. That's it. I mean, Skeletor dies momentarily and is just brought back by like the power of Christmas and puppies licking his face. Like,
wait, really? I don't remember him dying.
No, that happens. I don't know if he dies, or if he's just like knocked out and I'm like, oh, Skeletor's dead. No, he's not. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine.
Oh, man, I guess that does explain that whole funeral sequence for Skeletor. I was like not sure what was going on, but then as soon as they put the grave down, you see like the dust start to move and it cuts to black and I'm like, oh, he's coming back.
Yeah.
So
my favorite part of that was when He-Man sang Ave Maria.
But then he came back and like there was clearly something up with his upper lip. Like Skeletor must have had a mustache or something while they were shooting that.
Right. Well, my favorite part was when he was inside the coffin. You could hear from inside.
And he prays.
I think that's almost everything. He-Man calls Adora young lady at one point when he's dressed up like Santa Claus. And it's disgustingly sexual. I didn't like that one bit.
I didn't like any of the screen time they share.
You just like Skeletor.
Yeah.
He's your favorite part of He-Man. And understandably so. I loved it.
Well, the other thing that I don't even know if this is worth bringing up because anyone who's listening who knows the answer is probably like, what an idiot doesn't know the lore. Who are their identities secret from?
I'm not clear
on
Skeletor. That. Just Skeletor. He's the only one that doesn't know. And he's constantly like, hey, so Man at Arms. Were you hanging out with Tim the other day? He's like, it wasn't Tim. He-Man isn't Tim.
Following this like skinny dude named Tim.
He's trying to make his own drone system that's just like really shoddy. He's like, I'll figure it out someday.
All the drones have two heads and they argue with each other.
Oh boy. So the little kids go back to their home. Their parents don't care about where they've been. They're like, go to bed.
But they can fly now.
Yeah, and they hover to their bed and the parents are like, what? And that sucked. Their parents were not concerned about them at all. And I'm like, they might have just been better off in Eternia. I get why they didn't want to leave. Mm-hmm. Skeletor was so kind to them.
I hope that eventually they go back to Skeletor, or Skeletor just finally adopts them, like takes them to court, gets them exonerated from their parents. In conclusion, The Grinch 2018 was not my favorite iteration of the story, but
the 30 minutes that I watched were not the worst Illumination movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was also not the best Illumination movie. It
what
was
would you
certainly
say
an
is
Illumination.
The best Illumination movie.
The Minions movie, honestly. That's not
better
a joke.
Than Despicable
it's
Me.
It's better than Despicable Me. It's so much better than Despicable Me. Just without the pretense of having to care about these characters, it's literally just gags for like an hour and a half. It's great.
Huh.
It's a great movie.
Really?
It's great.
I haven't seen any of them.
I hate
so.
Every Illumination movie. So it's not like I'm saying it's really that good of a movie. It's just better than all the other shit they put out.
I guess that's fair. What else have they done? They did Sing. Is that their whole catalog?
They did The Lorax.
With Zac Efron and Taylor Swift, right?
And Danny DeVito,
and
yeah.
And Danny DeVito.
My favorite thing about that movie was that there was a car commercial with The Lorax. He was like, here's a car that's good for the trees. It runs on Lorax Snufflepuff energy. And then I'm like, what is this? This is like an SUV. What are you saying? This is good for the environment in such a vague way that you don't actually have to do anything legally binding. You're just saying it's good for the Snagglepuss trees. Ian, is this better than the Star Wars holiday special? Would you rather watch this or that this holiday season?
I'd probably have to say this. There's no uncomfortable scene of a Wookiee looking at softcore porn.
But those are the good parts.
There's no Boba Fett
special.
There's no Boba Fett.
That's true. The introduction of Boba Fett in the Star Wars holiday special.
Was that his introduction?
Yeah. And they thought that he was a good guy, and then they learned that he was actually evil.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I watch the Star Wars holiday special every Christmas, but I think I might have to throw this on the pile this year.
Yeah.
This was really fun.
It's a good time. You've got action. You've got romance. You've got Skeletor, which essentially the Boba Fett of this universe. Like, if I liked Boba Fett, like mm-hmm. if I was one of those fans who thought he was the coolest, Skeletor would be him.
You've got the Mansheens.
You've got the Monstroids.
You've got
Swifty. Was that the name of the pony?
Yeah, Swifty was the name of the. It's a unicorn. He has wings and a horn. Yes, he's a unicorn. Maybe he's a pony. Maybe he's a pony before he changes. But that's really his true form, right?
But yeah, I just want more content with Swifty, so I'm probably going to check out the new She-Ra.
Yeah, he's got big 30-30 horse energy from Brave Star the Legend, which you should definitely watch. That's a good one. He's a robot horse that runs around on his hind legs with a shotgun. He's fucking sick. He's so good.
And it's the same horse? Wow, they did a lot in the 80s.
Ian, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this week. Me and you hosted a podcast called Soundtrash, which people can check out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever they like to listen to podcasts. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ian Schrank. I sometimes post content and sometimes it's even good.
You can find me at Stop Tweeting Me on Twitter. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.